The first item on the list tonight, I believe in repentance. I believe in confession of what you have done wrong. And this morning, I wronged Brother Joey. Oh my goodness, I feel horrible. When I mentioned the elders and ministers to come to, I forgot to mention Joey. And I feel horrible about this. So, as y'all, this is the Sunday evening crowd. As y'all know, if you have any problems, feel free to come to Doug, myself, Devontae, Joey, any of the elders. We always have our doors open to y'all and anyone who wants to come to us. So yes, as y'all see, our item of business tonight, we got Jesus and Zacchaeus. What can we learn? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to have it on the screen for you. There we go. Speaking about Jesus here, and I've got CSB up there. I use the Christian Standard Bible. I've had a lot of people asking what version I use. I tend to use the Christian Standard Bible. So as we start reading, here we go. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When we think of Zacchaeus, you know, all the little ones, what are they thinking about? I feel like wee little man. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We all think of that. Okay, so Zacchaeus is wanting to see Jesus. Let's continue. So verse 4, he runs ahead, climbs up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." So he, Zacchaeus, quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "He's gone to stay with a sinful man." This is talking about Jesus. Jesus has gone to stay with a sinful man, is what the crowd is saying. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham." This is a theme verse for the book of Luke. Each gospel account, you can give kind of a theme. And Luke is 100% the gospel of the Savior of all. He was a Gentile. We see many things throughout his gospel that he talks more about, the gospel going to the Gentiles. His genealogy goes from Jesus all the way to Adam. Matthew's goes all the way to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Matthew is a much more Jewish-based gospel. If back then, and especially now, if you want to help a Jew become a Christian, read the gospel of Matthew. If you want to read the gospel to someone who is probably most likely not a Jew or considers himself a Jew, read the book of Luke, the gospel of the Savior of all. And so verse 10, Luke 19, 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." That's like what, 13 words, pretty easy verse to memorize. Luke 19, 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." So my number one point to us tonight is seekers. Are we going to get the seekers? Luke 18, 35 through 43, I'm going to read it real quick. This is the passage directly before Zacchaeus. "As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what was happening. 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by,' they told him. So he called out." So I want you to think about this. So this blind man is sitting there, and he hears a crowd coming by. What does he do? He says, "Well, what's going on?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth, he's coming this way." And immediately, it says, verse 38, "So he called out." Okay, that he called out is there for a reason. He knew who Jesus was. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David, that's a messianic title. He's calling him the Christ. "Then those in front of him, told him to keep quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. When he came closer, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." "Receive your sight," Jesus told him. "Your faith has saved you." Instantly he could see, and he began to follow him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This man knew about Jesus. He knew he was the Messiah. He was seeking him. He needed Jesus and his help that Jesus could offer to him. When you look at Luke 8, you look at other passages in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see the sower, the parable of the sower. We all know the parable of the sower. The sower's going along. If you ask me, it seems like the sower has no idea where he's sowing the seed. If you're walking down a path, you're probably not going to throw them on rocks. But the point of the parable is that the seed is sown everywhere. We don't know what kind of soil is in someone's heart. We bring Jesus to them, and they decide what to do with him. We got Matthew 22:14. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Think about that seed being thrown, and it lands on all different types of soil. We want that seed to plant and grow. "Many are called, but few are chosen." So I want to ask you this. Sunday nights sometimes can be hard to listen to. I really want you to be thinking about this. If we call 50 people, if you and in this congregation were to sit down and write out 50 names, hey, we're going to have people call, not just the ministers. We're going to have the people call them. We're going to have people sending letters. If you write letters, bless you, because that is a great ministry you are doing and a great work you do. We have letters being sent out, and we are putting our effort into these 50 individuals. And we got, what, 3 that might obey the gospel. Many are called, few are chosen. Maybe if we do that with 100, how many live in Mount Juliet, this area? I'm from Oklahoma. I don't know this area. There's a lot. Thousands upon thousands, right? So if we call 100, maybe we get 5. Maybe we get 6. I mean, if we truly invested our time into 50 souls or 100 souls, and we have 5 people obey the gospel, after they come out of the waters and we open up the doors, service is over, we better see everybody coming down greeting our new brothers and sisters in Christ. Because many are called, but few are chosen. If we want this congregation to grow, that's how we have to act. So if we call 500 people, 500 souls, maybe 1 to 15, maybe none. But here's my question. If we call many, few will come, right? Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." So if we call few people, how many will come? If this congregation puts our efforts into 10 people, many are called, few are chosen, how many might obey the gospel? Maybe 1? If we call 3, we don't get any, because many are called and few are chosen. Continuing on, my second point. First point is, we want to go get those seekers. Zacchaeus was 100% a seeker. The dude left his lifestyle and turned straight to Jesus. He wanted Jesus. Acts 2:46. Turn to the book of Acts with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Yesterday in our men's breakfast, Brother Donnie mentioned the house-to-house, heart-to-heart group. And they are, if you ask me, it seems like they are the biggest evangelistic program probably in the nation, 100%, that is involved with the Lord's church. We had Rob Whitaker, he's the head of the house-to-house school, or house-to-house, heart-to-heart school of evangelism, and he will come to congregations and teach them how to evangelize. He came to Heritage, and I was able to watch a lot of his lessons online live, and let me tell you, for us wanting to be ministers, he got into us. And the churches of Christ are struggling in America, church. So, think of house to house. So Donnie kind of inspired this lesson a little bit. I appreciate you, brother. Acts 2, verse 46. "Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house." Look at Acts 5:42. This is their theme passage, Acts 5:42, house to house, heart to heart. This is what they point to. Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continue teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Your passage may say, from house to house. There is something about the home that is special. Acts 20, turn there real quick. Acts 20, verse 20. You know, this is Paul speaking. He's addressing the Ephesian elders. Acts 20:20. You know that I did not avoid proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or from teaching you publicly, and from house to house. The home is special, brothers and sisters. So what are we doing with our homes? Are we utilizing this tool? This morning I talked about the back pocket bind and you got the front pocket bind. Well, I consider this a power tool. This is something that can do some damage. It can do some really good work. Not damage is a bad thing. You see an impact from this power tool. But sometimes, when it comes to this, don't read ahead quite yet. I'll read them for you, don't worry. Sometimes we have this power tool that we have, our homes. We have this tool that can do so much work for the kingdom, but we have it sitting in the shed. And it could use a carb clean. It needs a mechanic to come out, and it needs to be completely refurbished. Simply because we just need motivation to start using it. So my question again, why did Jesus go to Zacchaeus' house? The answer is in Luke 19:10. So we see that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Remember I just said Luke 19:10. What did Jesus come to do? To seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Do you think he went to talk to him about taxes? Nope. Did he go to talk about Rome? Did he go to talk about politics or the economy? Nope. Luke 19:10. Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If we are not having each other, I want you to read this. If we are not having each other over to our homes and utilizing one of the greatest power tools that we have for helping save souls, if we're not bringing them over to our homes and having Bible studies with them, what are we doing? Fellowship with the saved and fellowship with the lost that brings the lost to become saved and that keeps the saved saved. Continuing on. So what happens when this power tool rots away? I should have made that font a little bigger down here in the blackboards. I'm sorry for that. Think about this from I'll use Tennessee and Vanderbilt. You know, I'll go with Vanderbilt tonight. If the Vanderbilt coaches are not coming together often in their home with their fellow coaches, how well do they know each other? How well are they talking about the team? If business leaders are not fellowshipping in their homes with their fellow business leaders, how well is that business going to be doing? It goes along with elders who don't fellowship in the home with the flock. Or with outsiders, with the lost. This goes along with ministers who aren't fellowshipping with the flock. I kind of want to pick on Doug, but he's having work done on his home, so that's kind of funny. Love you, brother. If you're not having, think about this from your spouse standpoint and your family standpoint. If you don't have your family over, you must not love your family. Last time I checked, every epistle says brothers and sisters, writing to the brothers and sisters in Galatia. We're all part of a family. So if there's no fellowship going on, there's no dinners at home, what is happening to Christians right now? They're falling away. What is happening to those who are lost? They're not becoming saved. You bring people that you love into your home and you fellowship with them. If you aren't bringing people into your home for fellowship, what's the verdict? You must not be loving people. You must not be a hospitable person. And what did Jesus do? We want to imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul went to homes. Paul went from house to house. He went from house to house with Christians. He went to house with people who were lost, who were outside of that red circle that we had this morning. The home has a significant impact on families. It has a significant impact on relationships. It feels safe in a home. You will open up to someone in a home way faster than you will at a restaurant. There's a whole lot of noise going on at a restaurant. And at a home, it's quiet. Good things happen in the home, brothers and sisters. So my number three and overall point that I want you to take home, and it's kind of been a theme throughout this whole thing. Jesus went to Zacchaeus because a sinner needed saving. There was the hope of salvation. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Focus on that. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Sometimes, let me not get ahead of myself. We'll get there in a moment. So this is the evangelism process. I want each and every person in this room really to try to focus on this. Don't get ahead of me. We've got number one. The person who does the planting, the watering, God giving the increase, God gives the increase. But what are we supposed to do? What does it say? And each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay. So then we got number two. There's the friend who starts the relationship. Hi, I'm so-and-so. How are you doing? Number three, the one who invites the person to worship. Maybe the same person. Hey, I worship at Center Chapel. Would you like to come worship with me? We're a very loving congregation. We have a lot of things going on. We got a lot of people. We got a lot of guys who'd love to talk football with you. We can probably take you to a football game sometime. Man, we'd love to have you. Okay. Number four, the friendly door greeter. Ooh, this one's a kind of tender one if you ask me. So Rob Whitaker, house to house, heart to heart guy, okay? Don't be going ahead of me now. We'll get over there. The house-to-house, heart-to-heart guy gets up there for us as preachers. And here's the cool thing about what he does. He can get up there, and he's only at a congregation for like 3 or 4 days. And so he's going to make an impact. And if you don't like him, okay, he's gone in 3 days. But he will look at a congregation. If he's there on Sunday morning and then he's there on Sunday evening, he's met a lot of visitors because there's always visitors on Sunday morning. And he'll get up there Sunday evening, he'll say, how many of y'all met this couple over here and called them out by name? Half the congregation raises their hand. He says, okay, thank you, put your hands down. And then he looks them in the eyes and says, shame on you who didn't introduce yourself. That we had a person who is potentially lost come in our doors, and we didn't even say hello. They're going to go down to the church of the city and get greeted real quick. They're going to go down to the Baptist church and they're going to say hello real quick. They're going to say it really nice too. But we had someone who we don't know if they're lost come in our doors. How many people said hello? If we're not loving, other places are going to be loving. And as the Church of Christ, we should be the most loving. So we got the friendly door greeter. Then we got the one who takes the visitor's contact information. We've got to get that information. We got to get that number, and we got to get that address so we can be sending encouraging texts, encouraging phone calls, and encouraging letters. I said it once, I say it again. If you send letters, please don't think that you are doing something just unfruitful. That is a blessing to have you, and thank you for doing that. So then we get that contact information. Then we got number six, the one who takes the visitor to lunch, or better yet, goes to their home or brings them into their home. Number seven, the one who contacts the visitor midweek. We got this process going on. Number eight, the one who sends cards to the visitor. We got that going. Number 9, the one who sets up dinner with the visitor, where? In the home. And studies the Bible with them. Number 10, and we tend to say, oh man, the one who baptizes, that's the best role. That doesn't happen if all these other ones don't happen. Number 11, and this is also a very important role. Each and every member that keeps that new Christian faithful. I've seen, this is a stereotype in the Lord's church. If someone's baptized, they come up knowing everything about the Bible in our eyes. That is not the case. We have to train them up. And then number 12, each piece in evangelism is vital to the growth of the Lord's church. Here's the thing. This is number 10. We get someone baptized. Wonderful. Praise God. You take out that step of the friendly door greeter. You take out that step of the one who invites the person to worship. You don't get even anywhere near this one. All these pieces work together, and God gives the increase. God gives the plant the ability to grow. His word is powerful. But my question is, what are we doing to plant seeds? What are we doing? So here's a good story. Very short one for you. And you probably heard a rendition of it. New family moves into town. Place yourself in this scenario where you have a new family move into town. And they're right across from you. They're the neighbors. Maybe they're a few stories down. If they're across from you, you probably go say hello to them. But if they're a few blocks down, they move in, and you don't really go talk to them. But you see the Baptists come up, and they go talk to them. See the Catholics come up, they're going to talk to them. See the Muslims, they're going to talk to them. See the Mormons going to talk to them. See the Jehovah's Witness, they're going to talk to them. And this man then goes, the Christian man goes, man, I wish someone from the Church of Christ would go talk to them. What do you think God is thinking at that moment? Like, he probably wants to hit that guy over the head and say, dude, who's the member of the Church of Christ sitting there asking the question? Are we going to sit and think, man, I wish someone would go do it? Or are we going to do it ourselves and work together? The Bible says the church was working together in this process. Are we working together? The harvest is plentiful. Are you willing to go to work? So here's my invitation tonight. Bring Jesus to the seekers. Bring people into your homes and go into their homes. Show Christ's love to the world. So if you have the opportunity and the ability to bring someone into your home, I would strongly encourage you, get that power tool out of the barn, dust it off, and use it for the Lord's work. Are you being hospitable? That's honestly the basic question. Are you being hospitable for the work of the kingdom? We should all be all of us men here, we should have a desire to, any young men that are here should be desiring to be an elder someday. That is one of the qualifications of an elder. So as young men, are we desiring, are we showing ourselves that we're going to be hospitable? Are we working to be qualified for that? So are you learning from Jesus and how he treated Zacchaeus? Make your home a powerhouse and a power tool that you use constantly. And also, if you have any needs tonight, if you have anything going on, once again, you know who all the ministers are, you know who our elders are. If you want to speak with us about anything, if you want to talk with us about anything, or if you want to become a Christian, if you want advice on how maybe you can use your home for a powerhouse tool and how you can absolutely help the church grow, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.